Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. The writer of the Hebrews tells us about priests, Old Testament priests to be specific. And priests were these people who were set aside by God to serve the people of God in things that were pertaining to God. Very easy. You know, people were sinful. They needed to have their sins forgiven. And so somebody needs to help facilitate that. Because for an unholy people to be in the presence of God, they would literally be obliterated, right? God, the holy God, cannot stand in the presence of sin. And so you need sort of this intermediary, somebody who goes between God and the people. And so the priests, they were called up from the tribe of Levi to be God's representatives. And so then, you know, people would bring their animals and they would sacrifice them, and this whole situation would atone for sin. But it's interesting because every priest himself, because he was called from amongst the people, it meant that he wasn't any better or worse than anybody else. He was a sinner just like everyone else. And in fact, it was very, very important for these Levitical priests to offer sacrifices for themselves first, before entering the presence of the Lord. Now, obviously the priesthood has sort of been fulfilled. It's gone. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. That's not something that happens in the church. We don't do any of that sort of stuff. And a lot of these Levitical laws that God had put into place, they're done. But we do enter into a similar situation with pastors and people today. I, for instance, have been taken from among men. That means I am a sinner, appointed for you in things pertaining to God. That means Bible study. That's why I'm here. The divine service with which we are in right now, that's why I'm here. I am leading you in the divine service. It's wonderful. Word and sacrament things, right? If there's ever a baptism, who's up here doing the baptism? The pastor. When we have the Lord's Supper, which we're not having today, but when we have the Lord's Supper, who is the one who is distributing it? Who's the one who says the words? It's the pastor. And it's wonderful. And you might not realize this, but every single Sunday, we actually acknowledge that I am the person sent here by God, and you are the people who have elected to have me. Every single Sunday, we recognize this. It goes like this. The Lord be with you. And you guys respond. And with thy spirit, right? We just did that just a little bit ago. They call this the little ordination, okay? Because in doing so, I'm saying, okay, I am here to grant you the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence in the word, the Lord's presence in baptism, the Lord's presence in the Lord's Supper. And you recognize, in turn, that I also need the spirit of the Lord in order to give you these gifts. It's wonderful. And a lot of times, you know, we sort of gloss over parts of the service without actually thinking of them. But it's a wonderful thing. God has given a people to the pastor, and he's given a pastor to the people. And so when we come to confess our sins, though, the important part to remember is that when you confess your sins, I confess my sins. When I speak the absolution over you, that is, your sins are forgiven, I speak it for my own benefit, too. In the prayer of the church, I lift up petitions and then you offer your assent to them. When I pray, you pray. When you pray, I pray. We sing the same hymns. We hear the same words. We kneel at the same altar. We eat and drink the same body and blood. We trust in the same baptism. We have the same Savior. Simply put, we're the same. I'm just a leader. But it doesn't mean I'm any better or any worse than all of you. Now, this priest or pastor, he's subject to the same weakness as people. And so as we're in the same boat, what we actually need to recognize is that, you know, as we confess to be poor, miserable sinners together, we've all done the same things. The deviating from God's Ten Commandments, I break the Ten Commandments all the time. We have not feared, loved, and trusted in God, and that includes you too. You have not feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things with your whole heart. And to be honest, you have not loved your neighbors as yourselves. Nor have I. We don't rejoice in his word, but rather we forget it. We despise it. That means we treat it as if it's not important. Our minds get distracted during the service. You know, this might come as a surprise too. Sometimes pastors, they daydream about being somewhere else on Sunday morning. You guys ever do that in church? You sit in the pews and you sort of think, you know, man, I really wish I could be somewhere else. Pastors do that too sometimes. No matter how faithful a pastor might be, no matter how godly he might seem, he too despises the word of God. It's true. In fact, pastors are probably even more susceptible to that sort of thing. We all. You, me, the whole world. We've become masters at hiding our sin, at trying to keep it from the rest of the world, at holding it to ourselves, because if we can convince everybody else that we haven't sinned, then all of a sudden we look a whole lot better. But it's time to stop doing that. It's time to stop hiding from our sin. It's time to stop hiding it from the world, but instead to repent of it, to recognize that we have all fallen short of God's glory, that we've all sinned, and it's time to confess our sin. Because in so doing, we live in the forgiveness won for us by Jesus' death and resurrection. You and I, pastors and people, whether it's me or any other pastor, we're all cut from the same sinful cloth. And so this is why I ought not trust in you, and you ought not trust in me. Because you're going to be disappointed. Your faith is misdirected when you trust in the pastor. Instead, together as pastor and people, we trust in the great high priest, the one who has fulfilled Hebrews 5, the one who fulfilled all of the Old Testament, the one whom the entire scriptures are written about. We look to the high priest, Jesus. We place our faith in him, in his work, because he is the source of salvation. And the truth is that he is the only one who's ever been perfect. The only one ever who has ever served selflessly, who's ever served 100%, not even ever considering himself. How do we know? Well, look at what he does. He's not only the great high priest, but he is the sacrifice. He is the one who willingly takes himself to the cross to die, to bleed, to suffer. And he does it all for you. See, he's not unsympathetic to our weakness either. Although he was perfect, right? He never once sinned ever, but he still experienced every temptation that we experience ourselves. Only instead of giving in, he endured, he persevered, he overcame the temptations. And in so doing, he takes all sin onto himself. You know, we sort of highlighted this a little bit earlier in the week. You know, there's something called the sweet swap. And that is, Jesus is holy and innocent, and we are sinful and worthy of damnation. And so what does Jesus do? But he switches places with us. We just sang it in the hymn too. We deserve the crucifixion. We deserve to die. But Jesus doesn't allow it. Instead, he takes our place. He is sacrificed for our sins. And in so doing, now God sees us through the cross. And he sees that Jesus has already paid the price for us. It's wonderful. How do we know it worked? Well, 3 days later, Jesus comes back to life. Because to be honest, his work still isn't finished. The salvation part is finished on the cross, absolutely. But he still has to deliver it. He still has to give it. And so he does. Even now, he still gives you the benefits of his death and resurrection, the benefits of his high priestly actions. He grants them to you. And we've already said how. Baptism, the supper, the word. My friends, your sins are forgiven. Even in your hearing those words, it's true. And strangely enough, he sends you a sinful man. A sinful man to fill the role of pastor. A sinful man to stand in the stead of Christ as a lesser priest, someone underneath Jesus, someone through whom he has promised the Holy Spirit would work. Even now he sends you the Holy Spirit. My friends, you are forgiven. No matter what sins you've ever committed in your life, they are gone for Jesus' sake. And living in this promise and having received this Holy Spirit that makes us holy, now we have a great privilege too. Because not just me, but each and every one of you gets to be a priest. Gets to be somebody who can pray on behalf of your neighbor to God. Somebody who can love your neighbor, who can take care of fallen humanity and sharing this gospel message with everybody. Because the truth is that in Jesus' death and resurrection, he's given this privilege to speak forgiveness to all of us. We have that great privilege. We can be one who serves the world through this word of God, to announce Jesus' death and resurrection to everybody. My friends, we're all in it together. Pastor, people, we're gathered to the church that together we might receive forgiveness, life, and salvation won by Jesus' death and resurrection and delivered by the Holy Spirit. For being made perfect, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who listen to him. And his words for you to listen to today are this: go in peace. You are forgiven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.